We will fire this off, I guess. Get this going.
All right.
See what's going on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
I use the bathroom.
Big O! Showtime!
So you were making egg poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can get up your way. Ain't no funny duddies that are like it bad. But the strong men go to back to DLNGS.org. And I see challenges on LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cats are just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 928 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, and that might be it, unless Joe may show up late. Unfortunately, Joel's aunt passed away, and he's at that funeral. But still got some good stuff, I'm sure, and that includes another update to my tech support issue. It's only going on the third month now, but I am extremely hopeful now. We finally got a person on there, and I complained about it a little bit last week, but when I sent him the specific information, he came back and said, yeah, there's a problem here, and he's taken it and escalated it up the chain and has been investigating with certain special interest team members that focus on the things that we're having issues with, and we're supposed to get an answer back in the next couple of days or so. So I'm crossing my fingers, and hopefully we could put this to rest and move on to what I need to move on to with this. But that's that. I am really disappointed in myself, Pat. I left the closed the show out last week, and I saw that Ubuntu was telling me that there was a new version, and if I wanted to update, and I was going to update, but then I realized I should update the system before I update to the new version, and I did the update to the system, and I forgot to do the update to the new version. So now I gotta do that, hopefully tomorrow, or maybe it's one of those things where, again, now before I can update to the new version, I got to update the system again, or that's what you should be doing.
When did I upgrade? Well, my computer, before it died, I upgraded it.
Is that what killed it?
No, that machine was so freaking old, man.
Yeah. Did you ever... Did you get a new machine yet,
no,
or
I have
build
not.
A new one yet, or are you still looking?
I'm probably gonna hold off to, like, you know, Black Friday, see the sales and stuff.
Oh, there you go. That's right around the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, a good week. So,
wait, do they start Black Friday the day after Halloween now, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Your trick or treat night's on Friday, isn't it?
They're doing Sunday.
Oh, Sunday, really? Because I remember when we lived up in Bethlehem, they always did it either that Friday or Saturday, either before or right after. No, it would be before Halloween. But down here, they always do it on actually Halloween. So really tires the kids out.
Yeah, the last couple of years, it's been kind of weak over there. Less and less kids. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. It's touch and go here. Like, we're kind of off the main drag, so people don't really know that they can come back they stick mostly to the main drag.
Right, right.
And, you know, everybody else out here is like, either a ton of kids show up or nobody shows up.
Right.
And it doesn't help like that. Most of the kids that I know of that live around here live on our street. So they just, but you got other people coming from across the bridge, which...
Three blocks away from me, there's this house that has this ridiculous Halloween display.
Oh, yeah?
And, like, that attracts all the attention. People from, like, outside the area go over there.
Oh, do they do a Christmas display, too?
They do, yeah. That, and, you know, and people drive by and park in front and take pictures, and you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Every year we say, well, we're going to do a little bit of Halloween decorating, and then every year we're like, we'll do it next year. We're lucky if we get jack-o'-lanterns carved. But, yeah. So, yeah, trick-or-treat this weekend. Are you kids going?
They're getting old. They're both in high school. My older guy's a senior.
Oh.
The younger guy's a freshman. So the younger guy is probably going to go with his friends near his friend's house.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, the old guy's too cool for that, so.
Ah. Hell, I'd go now if I could. That looks kind of pathetic if you're not going with a kid.
I don't know. I was thinking of dressing up like the Grim Reaper and getting like a cart with a bunch of mannequins and with a bell and ringing the bell and yell out, you know, bring out your bed. I might not play too well, but whatever. I don't give a shit.
Woo! Yeah, this is the end. It's hard to believe, man. We're like 2 months away from the end of the year.
Isn't that crazy?
It's going fast. Now, do you have plans for Thanksgiving, or are you sticking home?
Eat turkey. That's my plan.
At your own? Are you making it yourself?
Yeah.
Yes, that's where we're spending Thanksgiving here too. So I'll be smoking a turkey.
Awesome. You ever have deep fried? Deep fried's good too.
Yes, I've had it and it's good. I don't have a turkey fryer. So.
Neither do I. I've smoked them too. I've done that also.
Most years we end up having to go down to my mother-in-law's. We're going down to my mother-in-law's over Christmas this year. So this year I finally get to cook Thanksgiving dinner.
Really? She's on
Thanksgiving.
South Carolina?
Yeah, Chester, South Carolina, out in the ass end of nowhere.
Nice.
So this will be the first year in, well, wait a minute. No, last year I was able to do Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. So this will be the second year, most of it. So anyway, this doesn't sound right. Yeah. I don't know.
Got your Christmas shopping done, Dan? You better do it before everything disappears.
Yeah, no, I don't. Man, the older kids are hard to shop for anymore. Because it's either they want something really expensive or there's nothing that they need. So, no, we haven't started yet.
Well, it'll be like the Soviet Union. You're able to get potatoes and vodka.
There. Well, you know, no vodka. I don't want any of those. I don't want any of my kids drunk over the holidays. I don't want to deal with that. I've had one of my kids hit the bottle, and boy, was that a terrible 8 hours for my wife and I.
Puking all over the place?
No, she didn't puke. She just wouldn't go to bed. You know, she does that, nobody loves me, and then she goes off on a tangent, and then she just, like, I'm like, just go to bed, but she wouldn't go to bed. And it usually ends up being like, it was a 6 hour ordeal, it was not fun.
Well, at least she wasn't tripping on acid or mushrooms.
No, that's true. But now both of my kids, both of the two kids that are here, well, all, even Paige, they all have jobs now. So if they're not in school, they're at their job, and I don't see them anymore. Now they're getting to, they're also at that age where if they're not at school or in their job, they're out at their friend's house. So I don't see them as much. It's a blessing and a curse. I don't know how to cook for three people anymore. I'm always cooking for six.
Wow. It's getting expensive, man. Food prices through the roof. I don't know about down there, but up here, man, it's gotten expensive.
And, you know, it has gone up. I've noticed that it's been creeping up and up, and certain things I'm like, I don't remember it costing that much.
Yeah, and then you get the packages, they charge the same price, but it's like, you know, 3/4 of the size of that once a week before.
It's weird.
Shrinkflation.
it's weird that some things like when I go to the grocery store, it's not like the shelves are vacant, but they're not as full as they used to be.
Right.
And not the same kind of like variety. And sometimes it's like weird that this is weird stuff are gone. But so far, knock on wood, it's been pretty good down here. My daughter had the Tooth Fairy visit her, and she wanted to take her money and go to Five Below. And Five Below is a lot of empty shelves compared to what it used to be.
You're
going to
change it to 25 Below.
Yeah, 25 Below. But yeah, that is something. Something. I was looking at my computer systems, like you know, we were talking a couple weeks ago with you looking to get a new one or replace one. Man, these systems that I have running here are getting close to like almost a decade old, some of them. Oh, Christ. And I mean, they're still going strong. But, you know, 5 years old. I think this laptop here is at least 5 years old. At this point, I think it is. If not, it's going to be 5 years old this year. And the other ones I have are older than this.
My laptop that I'm currently using here is a Dell XPS M1330. I think it's about 10 years old. And I got three keys popped off. It still works, and it still works fine.
So are the keys like, do they pop off and then you put them back on, or is it just they're missing?
And they pop off, you put them back on, and sometimes they break. But the sensor still works, so even without the keys, you can still type.
So you have that little, instead of the key, it's that little like round button thing sticking up?
Yeah.
Now, do you use that at like that, or do you attach a keyboard to it?
I use it like that.
As a daily driver?
No. I have a work laptop that's fairly new, maybe a year old.
I've thought about, I could get a new computer, but do I really need one right now? I mean, I'm not... Unless I wanted to like get into audio or video processing more extensively, then I can maybe see getting a newer computer. I don't know. I'm thinking what I should look into doing is getting an SSD drive for this laptop, because it originally had an SSD and it went bad. So when I replaced it with one of the older hard drives I had laying around, that's just a spinning disk one. And I notice, like with Audacity, when I try to save the file or when I'm doing something to it, it's a lot slower than when it was running on the SSD, which is interesting.
Yeah, my old system, I was playing around with outdoor doing recording stuff, you know, with the guitar and stuff, and I was getting latency. So, you know, the new machine, I'm leaning towards maybe doing a dual setup where, you know, it's an SSD with a regular hard drive too, so that while I'm working on a project, I can do it with the SSD. And then once I've finished the project and I mix it down to like a WAV file, then putting that in the storage folder on the hard drive.
And how's that working out?
I haven't done it yet. I haven't done the machine yet.
Oh, I thought you were talking about doing that in your current machine. Sorry.
That's what I'm thinking of doing.
How are hard drives? Are they easy to get? I know that there's been certain parts that have been more difficult.
I have no idea.
Wait for Black Friday. Not technology related so much, but my Honda Fit. I don't really drive it. I wasn't really driving it anywhere, except here and to the beach. So I didn't get it inspected since 2019. Like, I didn't get the 2020 inspection done. But they kind of like said you don't have to. And then 2021, it would have been due in March of 2021. And so we weren't really using it. So it wasn't a priority. But then when Paige's vehicle went belly up, she took our Kia until that was going to get fixed. And it doesn't look like that was going to get fixed. And my wife was like, she really wanted the Kia back because she got sick and tired of driving the Fit. So we had to go get it inspected. And that was like, that was a $750 outlay right there because it needed new brakes and the rotor on the one fused when they tried to take it off. So they had to replace all that and a few other things that had to be done to it, but it's now inspected. And I took Paige out because we figured this is the plan now. We're going to teach Paige how to drive manual and she's going to take the Fit. And we're going to get our Kia back.
And I learned how to drive stick because I used to ride motorcycles when I was a teenager. And my father was like, you learned how to drive a stick.
Yeah. So I love manual. I love stick. It's not hard to teach somebody how to drive. It's just that it's something that you can teach them the basics, but they have to get it. You know, it's that time. It's like riding a bicycle. Once you get it, you get it.
Yeah, the hardest thing is the old going up a hill and coming to like a stop or a red light, and you gotta manipulate the handbrake.
Yeah.
While letting off the clutch and hitting the gas.
Yeah. So that luckily, like there are no hills around here. It's pretty flat around here, so there's no hills. But that's something, once she gets, so we went out one night, it was just the other day, first time, and so she was getting it. It's gonna take some more practice, but yeah, absolutely. I said, you know, once you get this down, it's gonna be really easy. You just gotta do that, learn reverse, and then you gotta do the hills. Once you get it down, then you gotta do the hills. And then you're gonna be driving stick for a while, and then the biggest problem you're gonna have is when you go back to an automatic, not slamming on the brake when you're looking for the clutch. Did you ever do that?
No.
I've done that a few times. Like when I'm driving down the highway or something, and I'm like, like that area on 309, I don't know if you're familiar with it, where Dan Fry used to live. Does he still live there? Is he still in Center Valley?
No, he moved. He bought a house. I forget which town.
Okay, yeah. Down right here, there was a stoplight on 309 there, and there were a few times when I was driving, like, my dad's car or somebody else's car, and the light would turn red, and I would go to hit the brake, and instead of hitting the brake with my right foot, I was moving to hit the clutch so that I could disengage the gear while I was putting on the brake and slam, you know, cause the car to just go slam on the brake by accident. Yeah. So that's the hardest part I have going back to automatic. Now, since I've been driving the Kia for a few years, I don't really have that issue. It was just like after decades of nothing but manual, going back to automatic was a little challenging.
Yeah, the worst thing with clutch, you know, trying to stick is sitting in traffic and riding that freaking clutch for a couple hours straight.
Oh, it builds up that that ankle muscle. Ankle of leg muscle.
Cam's getting nice and big.
Yeah. Now, I luckily I've never like sprained my ankle or broken my leg where it would have made it difficult to drive manual. But anyway. Damn. I didn't do anything with that rocket book this past week. I got it. I tried the OCR on it. It was kind of iffy. I didn't do anything with it since then. Man Fry said he's got a bunch of their products. He loves them. but and the OCR, he said, seems to work pretty well for him. I guess it's just my sloppy ass handwriting, and so I gotta work on that. But I was also kind of bummed that Google's Pixel 6, did you hear about the Magic Eraser on that?
No, I did not.
So there's their photo application has, I think it's called Magic Eraser. Although not to be confused with the As Seen on TV product. Just let me double check. Yeah, it's called Magic Eraser. And, I mean, basically, what they show you is if there's something in the photo that you want to get rid of, you just outline what it is, and it'll just remove it and replace it with what the background, I guess, it kind of should be based upon what's around it. And if you look at the examples and the demonstrations of it, it looks amazing. Unfortunately, it's not, I don't think it's available for anything but the Pixel 6 at this time. It certainly wasn't in my photo application on the 4A, and there was no update that I could pull that down that I could find. So, it's getting rave reviews.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get excited about a phone when it's $900, you know, because I will never buy that phone.
Yeah, you know what, Pat? I agree with you. For how amazing Magic Eraser is, it's not $900 amazing.
It's crazy what these fucking phones are going for now. You know, I'm sorry. To me, a phone's like, you know, $200, you know? $300 max, you know?
Now I hear what you're saying. I mean, $900 phone, that's more than rent payment. Some places, or more, exactly. Just like a mortgage payment.
Exactly, it's insane. I'm hopefully that PinePhone project gets gone, because I really want an alternative to Google and that whole, you know, Android thing. I'm just done with it, you know.
Have they released it yet, or is it still?
They came out with a new revision of the developer phone. It's like an updated hardware spec. It's like a little more powerful. But supposedly they have an Android emulator, so you can run Android apps on it, which I think is the right way to go. You know, you can keep it sandboxed inside of an emulator. It's a little more private.
Yeah, so the PinePhone, they're both in beta that they have available.
Yeah, it's probably going to take forever unless they get some kind of company, you know, to try to do a commercial version of it and kind of update, you know, the open source stuff that it's built on.
But you know what? It's not that expensive. It's what, $149 for the beta edition and $199 for the beta edition with the convergence package. Although I'm not exactly sure what the convergence package is.
Yeah, I don't know
is.
Either. I haven't gotten into it that deeply. You know, I'm interested, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, the thing's gotta be usable. You gotta be able to make phone calls and text messages and whatnot. And it would be nice to run a few apps in it at the very least, you know, email, you know, maybe a web browser, you know?
Yeah. So conversion package features a beta edition PinePhone with more RAM, which is 3 gigabytes, and eMMC storage, 32 gigabytes, as well as compatible USB-C docking bar capable of charging, digital video output, dual USB 2.0 type A host ports for peripherals such as keyboard and fast internet. So that's it. It's got like a dock and a little more RAM and storage.
Yeah, I know Claudio was playing on one, and I think Rich had one too, but I haven't talked to him about it. I don't know if he's actually got around to using it.
So I guess when that addition, when it's out of beta, I'm assuming it's going to go up to the other price of $299, and then the one that doesn't have the convergence package is $149, but the retail price is $249. So it's $100 off right now for beta.
I'm interested. If it's something, if it gets to the point where it's usable, I jump at it.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
you know, and the fact that it's completely Linux, you know, the whole stack, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think the Android emulation is the way to go. You know, if it's a means to be able to get, you know, all these apps, you know, from Android and still contain it separately in a more secure fashion, you know, I think that would be a big win.
I wonder how well that works, though.
I have no idea. Maybe we can get somebody else on the project. Maybe I'll get a barometer feeling of where they're at, you know?
Yeah, we'll look at
how far off they are until it's usable, you know?
Awesome. You know, speaking of phones, the Runkeeper, I finally reached out to their support about the issue of the GPS not tracking while I'm on the run. And I got an email back, I think it was a day or maybe 2 days later, and the guy was like, turn off the auto pause and turn off the countdown timer. And I was like, how the hell is the countdown timer causing this problem? Because I don't have the issue if I have the phone and the display is on and Runkeeper's active in the foreground, it tracks GPS fine. It's when you turn the display off or something and it doesn't work. So by the time of the end of my run, I turn it back on and get back into the phone, and then it starts picking up again. And I'm like, it sounds like a permissions issue. I don't see how turning off the countdown timer is going to solve this problem. But weirdly enough, it did. It blew me away. I was half expecting to have to send an email back to him saying, look, no way. I didn't think it would work and it didn't, but it did. And that's really freaking weird. Like, how could the countdown timer interrupt that usage? But what are you going to do, right?
So they basically, they took a functional app they used for years that was stable to now it's unstable and not usable.
It's back to being usable. It has that weird quirk. But the thing is, I don't know, it has to do with an Android update. Like, one of the latest updates made some kind of change. Because they didn't update their application. So whatever change happened in the September update to Android 11 caused this problem that not only, you know, it just didn't affect me, it affected a lot of other people from what I could read. So it's really weird. It seemed like a permissions issue, but you know, and maybe what it is, and I don't know, maybe it has to do with the countdown timer. When the timer exits, the permission is not granted to the tracking application if the phone, if it's not active. So that's one thing I didn't try. I thought I did. I thought that I had taken the phone one time and left it on instead of shutting it off turning the display off. I thought I had tried that and it didn't work. But when I got finished with my run, I noticed that the display was off. So at some point it shut off and it didn't track. So I'm wondering if somehow, I don't know. It doesn't seem to make sense. The only thing that I could figure, if it is permissions, that when it's transitioning from the countdown timer to the GPS, that's where the problem lies. And if the display goes off before that happens, maybe that's the issue. And that's been, you know, how I do that is I tell it I'm going to go. It's got a 20-second countdown timer because I also use it for biking. So that by the time I get on my bike and get everything ready, you know, I give myself 20 seconds to get going and get into gear and then start it off. So I don't know. There we go.
Bizarre.
Yeah, really weird.
Freaking Android developers breaking things.
Yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Hey, have you seen the Dune movie yet?
Is that only in the theaters?
Well, technically no.
Or is it on HBO Max also?
Yes, you can stream it. I mean, it's probably much better in the theater because, you know, a big screen with an excellent sound system.
Yeah. So the answer to that obviously is I have not, but my wife says she really wants to see it, and I would absolutely see it.
Did you read the books?
I did not read the books.
Did you see the previous versions? You know, the 80s version with Sting and the early 2000s miniseries from Sci-Fi.
I did not see the Sci-Fi series, but I did see the movie that was the 80s. It was the 80s.
It was the
80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's David Lynch.
Yes, David Lynch did it. I mean, I enjoyed the movie. I liked it. I think I saw it in a movie theater, actually.
Yeah, it's tough to translate to the movie screen. The books is like, there's like so many threads going on, and it's a lot of stuff is like the characters are thinking to themselves, and it's not easy to translate that.
So did you read the books?
I did. And the new version is actually, it's shot very well. I liked it. It's a little slow pacing, you know, to get going in the beginning. But once it gets going, it's pretty good. It's got a good cast. I like how, you know, they did a really good job. And supposedly, you know, but they did differently with the new version. Is it's only halfway, half the story. So the second movie is basically continuing. And it was a long movie. It was like 2.5 hours.
Huh.
So the new movie is going to come out, I think, in 2 years, I think they said they want to release it by.
2 years? Wait. Didn't they shoot it all at one shot?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. 2 years you got to wait.
You're going to wait for 2 years for the second half. But at least they proved it. There was rumors going around that we're going to kill it. But supposedly it did well enough in overseas and in the U.S. domestically. They greenlit it.
Wait, when did it come out?
Like a week ago.
Oh, so they already did well enough for them. Yeah, October 22nd. So it already did well enough for them to release it, huh?
Yeah, they're happy with it.
Approve the next one. That's good.
Yeah, the guy from Star Wars plays the Duke.
So Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, he was in it. Who else? Skarsgård, the old man, plays Harkonnen, Baron Harkonnen.
Yep.
Who else?
Jason Momoa
was in it. What's his name? Dave Bautista, the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy, he's in it.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He plays the Harkonnen nephew, the brute.
Who plays the Baron? The
Skarsgård. The old man Skarsgård. You know who Skarsgård is? He's like a, you know, he's a Swedish actor. He's like all three of his sons are actors.
Yeah,
one of them is Pennywise from It.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at his picture and
yeah, he's been in a lot of movies. That guy, he's good.
Yeah, I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. Josh Brolin's in it.
Yeah, he's in it.
And Zendaya.
Momoa plays the Patrick Stewart character.
Oh man, I forgot Patrick Stewart was in Dune.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've seen it.
Gurney Halleck, who was like the military trainer guy.
Okay, yeah. Oh. You know, when I was young and I saw the movie theater, I really dug the sandworms. They were awesome.
The new ones are better.
That's reason enough for me to go see it.
Yeah.
2 hours.
The special effects are really good. You know, it looks really good. It's shot beautifully. It's done well. It's just a little slow in the beginning, getting going.
Does it keep you engaged?
Yeah, you'll stay awake. Just don't go in there drunk or high or anything. You'll pass out.
Drunk. Oh man, I remember the one time, like the only time I recall. Actually, no, this isn't the only time I fell asleep in a movie. But the only time I fell asleep in a movie because I drank too much alcohol was in a Jackie Chan movie. It wasn't one of the more popular ones, but we had gone to TGI Fridays. This was way back in the 90s. And I had just one too many beers. And when we went to the movie, which was like right across the street, I fell asleep in that movie. Now, as I've gotten older, I've not been able to stay awake through a Transformers movie anymore.
The only movie I actually, like in a movie theater that I fell asleep was, I was like in my early 20s. I had worked like double shifts and stuff over 24 hours. And it was a late movie. I think it started at like 11:30, 11 o'clock in the evening. So I fell asleep halfway through.
Do you remember what the movie was?
I forget which one it was. In the early 90s, I don't even remember. But the worst thing I've ever done is I actually fell asleep at an Allman Brothers concert once.
Allman Brothers?
Who I've seen like 20 times. And it was, I forget, I think it was the PNC one time. And me and my friends, we got pretty drunk. And again, it was one of those situations where, you know, I hadn't slept in a long time. And I fell asleep during, you know, the 20-minute jam.
Were they headlining?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh. So would you wake up just in time to leave, right?
No. I just fell asleep during, like, halfway through the song. It was, like, a 20-minute long song, and I fell asleep halfway through it.
Oh, there you go. That's not too bad.
The jam was very mellow, you know?
I went to see, David Lee Roth came to the fairgrounds.
Recently?
No. This is back in, like...
You're talking about the Allentown Fairgrounds?
Yeah, Allentown Fairgrounds, 1990.
Oh, wow. That must have been awesome. That's when they had Steve Vai and Billy Sheehan.
Yeah, one or two. And he was there with Cinderella and Extreme. And I really
that sounds like a great show.
It was, and I wasn't really into Extreme. And I had drank a little too much before I got there. I wasn't too excited to see Extreme, so I wasn't in the pit. I went up to the bleachers and I sat down and I fell asleep through Extreme. I woke up for the end of Cinderella, and they were pretty good. And then David Lee Roth came out, and that was a good time.
The worst concert I've ever been to was the Grateful Dead back in the day. Now I'm not really a Dead fan. I like their songs. And back in college, I had some friends that were really into them. And this was when they, that big comeback tour, you know, back in the late 80s.
Right.
And it's when someone bailed them, you know, going to the concert. So they're like, hey, you want to go to the concert? Free tickets. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go. And it was not an enjoyable experience. I've been to a lot of concerts through the years, especially back then. And it just wasn't my cup of tea, you know. I was not into it.
I think the worst concert I ever went to was Weezer, and it was at, I think the place was called Lupo's, but I can't remember. It wasn't originally Lupo's. It was in Allentown. It was a smaller venue, and it was right before that, like, they were really got huge. They had just had that, not Beverly Hills. The first big hit. So it was like right after that
Buddy Holly?
Out. Buddy Holly, yes. It was right after, like, maybe the year after Buddy Holly came out. So they were still playing smaller venues, and they came out, and it was like they didn't even want to be there. They just phoned it in. And you could tell, which was kind of disappointing.
I can give you my worst concert experience of all time, then, if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Yeah, this was back in the day. I'm talking like late 80s. I went to go see the Cro-Mags, which is a punk band, at some bar in New York City. And in the middle of the show, this huge brawl broke out. And it got very violent. People were like smashing bottles and cutting each other and smashing chairs over each other and beating the fucking piss out of each other. And the police showed up and they started arresting everybody, and I got the fuck out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds worse than the Guar concert I was at.
Yeah, this was bad. Holy crap. This was like a full fucking brawl. It was horrible. the worst thing I've ever seen.
That doesn't sound like a fun time.
It was not. And, you know, they were carrying people off in stretchers out of there.
Did the band keep playing until the police showed up?
No, they stopped. They stopped.
Oh.
As soon as the cops showed up, they turned the lights on and they cut the audio.
But they were playing through the brawl?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did that happen to a lot of their concerts?
No idea. It was late 80s. Oh. But part of what was going on was, you know, they were kind of a crossover band. You know, they were punk, but they also had, like, a lot of, like, hardcore people that were into them.
Okay.
So you had, like, guys that were metalheads, you know, thrash metal people showing up. And the punks didn't like them.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I've been to other punk shows. Like, I saw, like, the Ramones a couple times. And that was always a cool show. Everybody was really, you know, mellow and into it. And it was the shortest freaking show you ever seen. It was, like, literally 35 minutes.
They come out, do all their songs, and leave, right?
Yeah, I mean, all the songs were 2 minutes long, so they blew through their set half hour.
Yeah, I saw the Ramones once.
That was great.
Yeah, and everybody was having a good time, just like you said. It was a mixed crowd, and everybody was having a good time, and, you know, people were respectful of each other, and it wasn't as violent as the Gwar concert, but it was nowhere near.
Well, tell me about the Gwar concert. You saw them a couple times, right?
I have seen Gwar a couple times. The first time I went to go see them, I was in, like, I managed to get, it was at the Allentown, I think it was called the Allentown Concert Hall. So I don't know if you ever were familiar with that.
I think I know what you mean. Yeah.
It was right there, on Airport Road. It was, in the shopping center where Redner's is, they had a place called the, Allentown, I think it was Allentown Concert Hall. It was pretty small. And I saw Blue Oyster Cult there too and a few other things.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I managed, like, it was just general admission. So I got in there and I managed to get right up to the front row when Gwar came
that,
out.
That was a mistake.
No, actually it wasn't a mistake. It was fine, you know, and there was, four rows behind me. And by rows, I mean four people behind me. Like, we were really pressed up against the stage. So, and there was, like, no room. But the mosh pit where the skinheads were going nuts started four people behind me. So that, if you were that fourth person back there, like, you just look back and you see somebody standing there, you look back and then they were gone. Like, they got ripped out of that area and there were people getting beat up, I know that, but it wasn't completely out of control. And then the skinheads would do, like, the wall of death or whatever they called it, where they would just form a big line and all link hands and just rush the stage, and it would just, everybody would just part like a wave, and they would just rush the stage, bounce off, and then people would just slide back in and fill it up, and then they'd just go back to slam dancing back there. But unless you wanted to get, like, beat up, you weren't slam dancing at this concert. Like, you could go to the Ramones and do that. And if you fell down or something, people would help you get up and they look
right,
out
you
for
get
you.
Stomped on.
Here, they were like, you fell down, you're going to get stomped on and I don't know. Kicks. They were saying, yeah, yep. Somebody might have razor blades in their shoe to cut you up. But nice. So, yeah, no, and the guy, like, two of my friends that I went with, like, they didn't get up front. So they were like, F this, man. They just went straight to the back and sat there. And there really wasn't a bad area to be to see the show because it was so small. You know, it wasn't like you were in nosebleed seats or anything, but you just weren't. You weren't in blood spewing range for Gwar.
That's a good thing.
But no, they were good. They put on a good show. I liked them. They were fun.
My scariest concert I ever went to was back in the 80s.
You have a scarier one than the one where everybody got beat up in the riot?
I do. You remember Lemoore's in Brooklyn, the metal place?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it was a small place, but a lot of bands went through there, you know, that usually on the way up. But occasionally Maiden would show up unannounced, and they would say it like over the air, like that day, like Charlotte and the Harlots at the Moors. And you could go down there and see freaking Maiden in the club. And I did that with a bunch of my friends. And the place was, it's a small place, and it was packed. I mean, you couldn't even move. And during the show, it got so crazy that I got picked up off the ground. I wasn't picked up per se over the crowd, but my feet left the floor, and they weren't touching the floor, and I was moving around in the crowd. Like floating almost, not above, like I wasn't picked up above, like above the shoulders.
You weren't.
I was standing there, and then I wasn't standing there anymore. I was just moving in the crowd. It was so crazy.
Yeah, that sounds very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking I'm going to get crushed all the way up front of the stage, or fall down and get stomped on, you know.
But you made it out alive, though, right?
Yeah, obviously. Part of that was the assholes from the club. They let too many people in there.
Uh-huh. That must have been an awesome show, though.
Oh, it was amazing.
Now, I take it when they played a small venue like that, he didn't run around stage all over the place, did he?
No, the stage is tiny.
I was going to say, I didn't think he would be able to do that.
Had to be around the time of maybe Power Slave or somewhere in time. It was like 85, 86, 87, some of that range.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was scary.
You had a lot of, you probably had a lot of nice concert halls up there. You were living in Long Island, right?
Staten Island.
So yeah. You weren't.
So we, you know, Staten Island's part of New York City, but it was like kind of separate, and you had Jersey on one side and Brooklyn, so all those places were pretty close. And, but I don't know, probably one of the best concerts I ever saw was, Monsters of Rock in 88, when it was Metallica, Scorpions, Van Halen, who else was on that? Kingdom Come. That was a really good show. That was when Metallica was doing Injustice for All.
Okay.
And that kicked ass, of course. And then Scorpions were phenomenal. Van Halen were phenomenal.
That was with Hagar?
Yeah, it was Van Hagar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw David Lee Roth, his first solo tour. And that was a great show, too.
Was that The Little Ain't Enough?
No, it was the first one. That was an excellent show. I saw Def Leppard and Queensrÿche a couple times co-headlining in a round. That was excellent. Maiden's always phenomenal live. I saw Priest a couple times. Yes, was phenomenal, man. I saw them a bunch of times, so 3 years. Phenomenal show. Rush, fantastic. Metallica, before they turned into dicks. You know, when they played metal and weren't doing videos with Miley Cyrus. I can't get into the new music, Metallica. I'm sorry. The last 3 or 4 albums, I'm done with them. You know, I'll listen to the old stuff every once in a while, but the new stuff, I'm not interested.
I'm trying to remember when Queensrÿche got big. Bigger.
I saw them when they opened up for Maiden during the Power Slave tour. And then I saw them again after that a few times. I saw them, Rage for Order. I saw, you know, Operation Mindcrime, Empire. They did a couple tours with Def Leppard, like co-headlining, and they would change it up. Like they would flip who was the headliner in a round. I saw Black Sabbath with Dio. I saw Dio a bunch of times. I saw Ozzy a bunch of times. Well, a lot of shows I've seen over the years. It used to be cheap, man. You know, $20, you'd see 3-4 bands, you know, on the bill. Some of these shows now, they've gotten so fucking expensive, you know.
I would have been into $20.
Yeah. I mean, I would have been
$20, man.
I would have been into seeing the Police on that reunion tour they did, that farewell tour. But the tickets were like $200-$300, man.
Yeah, no, I know. I was saying like $20. I remember those days. Now you're getting like the crap seats for $100. 70 to 100 bucks on those crab seeds.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Man. Yes, it's gotten expensive.
Yeah, they've been tours lately. They've started touring again. The local music scene is dead. Like, none of the bars are open with live music anymore. It kind of sucks, you know? I saw some stuff, like, I went to the Steel Stacks, and over in Bethlehem by the casino, they had some outdoor shows. They have a stage over there with a couple stages outside.
Okay.
I saw a couple shows that were free, you know, and that was cool, you know, a lot of people there. Outdoors. I saw the Led Zeppelin tribute band. They were good.
I saw that summer when I was getting the house ready for sale, my dad's house ready for sale. I went to the, what is the name of the casino over there? The Bethlehem?
It changed hands. It used to be Sands. Now it's Wind Creek, which are the Indian tribe from Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, when it was the Sands, I saw, the Hollywood Vampires there. It was typical casino type place, but it wasn't outdoors.
In the summertime it was nice outdoors, you know?
Absolutely. Did you do music? Did they do music fest this year?
They did it this year. They did.
Yep. Did you go down there?
I did not go over to that this year. It wasn't really anybody I was interested in to go see.
You go down and see the South American flute players that are on like every other corner.
Oh, the Peruvian guys?
Yeah, the Peruvian guys that play the wooden flutes down there. Or they used to. I don't know if they still do that anymore.
No, they haven't been around lately.
Man, I used to do, there was, Music Fest, and then there was an Irish Fest that would come.
Yeah, they still do that. The Celtic
Classic. That's right.
Yep. Yeah, they still do that.
And then that rolls into the Kris Kringle Mart.
Right, yeah, it's all the same area there. Yeah.
And then I guess, I don't think they do much of anything again until Music Fest, but then they have, Allentown does like Mayfair.
They have acts going for the casino indoors during the winter time.
Okay.
The tickets are not cheap. Like, I've looked at some of those shows. They're like $200 tickets.
Yeah, that's $200 more than I want to spend.
Yeah, it's probably small capacity, small place, you know?
You ever go out to Atlantic City and see shows there?
I think once I went to a concert in Atlantic City.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. That's when we lived in Pennsylvania, because it's not that far of a drive, and we'd just stay at my father-in-law's, the house there.
I saw some shows in Vegas. I saw the Allman Brothers in Las Vegas.
Did you go there just to see them, or?
Well, it was part of the trip.
Were they there?
Yeah. I also went to Nashville to go see Maiden a couple tours back.
There you go.
Yeah, that was good. Nashville's a fun time. You ever been down there?
I have not. I've not been to Tennessee. I mean, I think I've driven through it.
It's good time. It's very touristy, you know?
One day, yeah. I'll try to get there. I'm trying to think. We have an outdoor arena where a lot of mid-tier groups come through, and they have the what's that festival? Crap, I can't remember the name of the festival that comes around like every year. I think it's not the one that Jane's Addiction started. Oh man, I can't remember what the music festival is.
Are you talking about Lollapalooza?
No, it's not
Ozfest?
It's Vans, what's the one that Vans does?
Oh, the Warped Tour?
Warped Tour, that's it. Warped Tour comes through frequently at the venue. And there's other couple tours.
That tends to be like alternative punk more.
Right.
Yeah, I also went to the Horde Festival a couple times. That was good. At those shows, I saw like the Black Crows, Lenny Kravitz, Soundgarden, King Crimson. I saw Metallica headlined Lollapalooza one time. I only saw Soundgarden once. They were phenomenal.
Well, I guess you can't see them anymore, can you?
Nope. Lenny Kravitz was good. The Black Crowes are awesome. I like the Black Crowes. They were good. I saw them a couple of times. I saw them at Lollapalooza one time. No, I'm sorry, Horde Fest one time. And then I saw them by themselves. They were with Jimmy Page, who were doing like a Led Zeppelin thing. You know, they did like a whole Led Zeppelin set. It was good. Uh-huh.
Man, I haven't been to a concert now in
2 years. Maine's got a new album out. They're not touring this year. They're holding off until 2022. I definitely want to go see that. It's probably, you know, who knows if that's going to be the last go around for them, but go see them if you can.
I saw them a couple years ago. I would love to see them again.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. They're a
fantastic show.
Great, great band live. Just don't go to the Barclay Center in Brooklyn, New York. It's a horrible place to go see a concert. The sound is atrocious in there.
I don't think I'll be going up there anytime soon. So
yeah, I went there once and once only. One time only.
Ay, ay, ay. Go see, what was my daughter was really wanted, the youngest one really wanted to go see Imagine Dragons.
Okay.
And they came through and we couldn't get the tickets. We had some other thing going on, which was unfortunate. Cause now she doesn't care about him anymore, but she would probably have loved it. Now what are you going to do? Whoa. So you, here's something interesting. I was going to bring this up last week. So my job, they're changing the time off policy. And we have like PTO policy, and I think I mentioned this before. And like, it was like a week after we had talked about this, like a couple weeks ago, where our current policy is you get a bank of like hours and you could use them as you see fit for sick days, vacation days or whatever. You need to take time. There you go. They're going from that to manage time off.
I don't know what that means.
And what that is basically to like, look, you have a job to do. So long as you do your job and there's coverage and everything's cool and you're doing your work, you need to take time off, take time off. Just make sure your work gets done and you have coverage. That's it. Just arrange it with your manager. They don't track time off hours anymore. And I'm like, it feels like a trap. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. It's a little weird. Did they switch like the time reporting system recently?
Funny you should say that because we just had
that's an indicator that they try that bullshit. Did they go to Oracle?
No.
There's like a whole Oracle like administration suite that a lot of companies are using now.
What's it called? You know?
I forget the package name, but I've heard stuff similar to what you're describing.
It's not like Informex, is it?
I don't think so.
Okay, I think it's called Informex. Yeah, so they're basically moving to this new time tracking thing, and it's just, yeah, so they're starting that in November, and we're supposed to like track our PTO, but then the managed time stuff off, we're not tracking next year. So I don't know. It's kind of weird because I'm like, this year was kind of an anomaly, but not so much. Like most years, it seems like I end up at the end of like the last quarter with at least like a week and a half to 2 weeks of vacation days I haven't used. And so that usually means I take off the week of Thanksgiving and the week between Christmas and New Year's Eve, and then maybe a couple other days in between there. And then this year, because we had the time we went to Brigantine was also like the whole funeral and handling all that of my father-in-law. It was covered under bereavement. So I still have like a ton of days left over that I've taken off the whole week before Christmas, the whole week during Christmas, and the whole week of Thanksgiving, and I still have days I have to take off.
Do they let you carry stuff over?
No, we're not allowed to carry stuff over. But then there's nothing to carry over next year because we're not doing paid time off. It's just managed time. And then I'm like, you know, it feels like it's that weird thing. It's like I would feel like now I have these days I have to use. But next year, come this time, I don't have days. I mean, I could take it off, but I don't technically have them. It's weird.
Yeah, I've been at my job a long time and I have a lot of vacation time and not taking it away.
Yeah, it's comforting to know that you have it. When they're basically like, dude, just take off when you need it. Don't worry about it. I feel weird about it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It sounds like a trap. It's like, you know, like they're setting you up, you know?
Yeah, but I have no reason
to
believe
that. You don't
want
to be the one guy that gets fired over it. What I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think like I think that would be like if you were abusing the system, there would be warning signs and your manager should catch it first. Like if you're the guy that's taking every other day off or something and not getting your work done, yeah, you know, then we're gonna have a problem. But I mean, if their attitude is like you get your job done and everything's going fine and you clear with your manager, take just as long as you're getting your job done, we don't care. And I'm like, cool, you know, that's great. Just not used to it. Just not used to it. What else we have this week, Pat?
I took my son. He's looking at colleges, and we went to the Northampton Community College open house. He's very talented. My son, he's very artistic. He knows how to draw and paint, and he does very, very well. So he's thinking of doing like commercial art, you know, like doing stuff for like websites and, you know, corporate sites and games. So he wants to learn how to do like the digital art stuff, you know, graphic arts. So we went to the open house and they actually used Blender there. I was very impressed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, they use it. They do like 3D modeling and they also do animation stuff.
So did that spark interest in him to try? Does he use Blender now?
No, I told him. You should try it.
That is great.
Yeah.
When's he graduate? Is it this year?
He's gonna be next fall is when he's in college.
Oh, next fall, man.
Yeah.
Woo!
He's a senior now.
Ah, it's the big time, man. That's it. Exciting times. Do you have a makerspace over there?
There is, but I have not been to it.
I just got news that they're putting in a makerspace on the fort here, and it's going to be like in walking distance from my house. That's the good news. The bad news is when I went and looked it up, it's part of 757 Makerspace. It's expensive as hell. It's like for a year, membership to the Makerspace is like $1,400.
Wow, that's a lot.
And I'm like, that's awesome. But for $1,400, I could probably buy the equipment that I would want to use there.
Pretty much and do it at the house. Yep.
But, oh, so your son's graphic design, huh?
That's what he's leaning towards.
That's great.
But, he just needs to learn how to use the tools, you know, those industry tools and the workflow and all that crap.
Yeah, so what's he like to do now? Is it mostly painting? Drawing?
He does a lot of sketch work.
Okay.
He does painting too, and he did a phenomenal self-portrait of himself when he was like 11, and he still has that painting.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, that's, do you ever watch him work and like when he produces something, he makes it look so easy?
He doesn't like anybody watching him.
Oh.
He's like very private about that stuff.
Because Paige is really good at that. So is Avery. And when even just like going out and watching some YouTube videos where somebody puts a bunch of dots on a paint, like acrylic paints on a canvas, and like 10 minutes later, they have two people walking down the path in a rainstorm through the forest and under an umbrella. And I'm like, how the hell did they get there from a couple of dots on the canvas? It blows my mind even when I'm watching it. It's just, I wish I had that talent to be able to do that.
Yeah, I was always more into music when I was a kid. I mean, I did some art stuff, but more music stuff I was more inclined towards. And I've gone back into playing, and I'm looking to, you know, play with some people, jam with some people, and maybe start playing music again.
That'd be cool. Setting.
Yeah, I think I want to do that. But like I said, the whole local music scene is pretty much dead. You know, all these bars are all closed down and everything. So it kind of sucks.
So are you like hoping that to get with a bunch of people and then go out and like play in bars and stuff or do like open mic?
Yeah, I'd be open to that shit.
There you go. And you play bass, right?
Bass and guitar.
Okay.
I've done both in bands. I'm more inclined to guitar this go around. It's a little easier on the hands. I'm getting old, you know? The bass physically is a little more demanding.
I was trying to learn guitar over the past year and a half, and it's different.
Yeah. It takes years, man. It really takes years. And
a lot of people, absolutely.
They don't want to put the time into investing in it. You know, I played it on and off for years, you know, so I have a pretty solid foundation in it. I played in bands with both. You know, so it's like riding a bike and get back on it and just pushing myself. And, you know, I've been playing mostly guitar, and I'm pushing myself to be, you know, lead guitar, you know, and that's where the challenge is, you know, so that I'm comfortable and fluid enough, you know, in front of people. But, you know, I could write music. I can come up with parts and stuff that, you know, I can record stuff, and I don't have a problem with that. It just sucks that there's, you know, there's no venues right now. You know, that's the sad part, you know?
No, yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's, without the venues though too, is it hard to find people who would want to like get together and play?
I don't know. I haven't seriously looked into it yet, but soon I definitely want to look. You know, at the very least I'll jam with a drummer, you know, take it from there.
That is awesome. Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Now, you you still working with Ardour?
I was until my computer died.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I was doing the drum machine, the hydrogen for the drum tracks, and then, you know, I have, you know, a Behringer audio interface. Four channel I can go in through. So, you know, I can record guitars and bass, even vocals if I wanted to.
So you were you writing your own stuff, or were you doing mostly covers?
Just for like demos, you know, to put my ideas down, just to have all my ideas recorded. That's what I was doing. And I was doing everything.
That is great.
Yeah, so once I got another machine that's fast enough, I'll get back into it. You know, the recording stuff is really cheap. There's a lot of, you know, programs out there. Everyone uses digital now, you know. I when I was in the band, I remember back in the day, we booked time in the studio, and it was, you know, analog tape, you know, with a big mixing console and everything. And it was expensive back then, even back then, to do a demo tape, you know, it was a couple thousand dollars for a week of, you know, studio time.
Oh yeah, then, absolutely.
You know? And, you know, that was with a sound engineer, and you had to know what you wanted to do and get it done as quickly as possible. But at least now, you know, the barrier to entry is much lower, you know. Even on Windows and Mac, you know, you can buy, you know, Pro Audio Tools or something for a couple hundred bucks. And you could pretty much record anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you have any other plans for the rest of the year? Are you just sticking around the house? Are you going to go visit any family?
Nah, my mic, my headphones are dying here. Hold on a sec. Let me switch. Hold on. All right, that's better. My headphones are dying.
No problem. I was asking if you had plans to go any traveling for the rest of the year or you're just sticking around.
No, I'm taking a week off of Christmas off, but I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, aside from
local stuff, you know.
Yeah, aside from visiting my mother-in-law, we're not planning on going anywhere. Not at all. My daughter's birthday is tomorrow, but she's got to work. So we're celebrating over the weekend. So I have to be, she loves oysters. So I have to be shucking oysters this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah. Did you ever shuck oysters?
Sure.
It's a fun experience. It's a lot of work. And then everybody comes and eats them all up in a few minutes. And then you're like, oh.
It's like making wings. It's the same thing.
Yep. But love the oysters.
Not cheap.
And what's that?
Not cheap.
Well, down here they are. Cause,
you can get local stuff?
Yeah, there's mostly local oysters that I get. And so for, let's see, what is it? I believe the last thing I got a bag of 25 oysters for $13, I think it was. And if you go out, like most places you're going to spend, like you get a dozen oysters, it's going to be anywhere from like $15 to $25. But if you get the bags yourself and do it yourself, you're paying a fraction of that price. So, they're pretty cheap, especially this time of year. So, bag of 25. And if you get like 50, a bag of 50, they're, it's not like the cost of two bags of 25. It's a little cheaper. Good stuff. Good times.
Cool.
Absolutely. I take advantage of it. So it's worth it. Crabs have come down in price too down here.
Good. Crabs are awesome too.
Yeah. So
that's usually what, like late August, early September?
For crab prices dropping?
Yeah, that's when you can get them, right? Late August.
No, you can get like, you'll start getting crabs at the end of spring. You could probably get them all year round if you want to.
Yeah, but they're not big enough.
The prices really fluctuate, but by the end of summer, the prices start to drop.
I'm talking about trapping them yourself.
Oh, trapping them myself. I think the season is like May through, oh gosh, I haven't looked in a while, September.
We used to do it. It used to be like August was the time to go down, August, September.
Yeah, definitely. This time of year is not doing, let's see, can't remember. It's been a while since so March 17th through November 30th that's commercial.
Yeah, we used to get like chicken pieces and tie them down at the bottom of the cages, and not anymore. The chicken's too expensive.
So, yeah,
I don't know what they're using now. Chump.
It depends. Like I'll do the chicken leg or whatever, and I'll put it on a string and catch them that way. Because I haven't the one crab pot I bought. Like I didn't even invest. I didn't even look into it. I should have. It was a piece of shit. So I've been for years. I've done it with the string, and you pull it up and you put them in the net, and the kids love it. Everybody has a good time for the first hour, and then everybody gets sick of it afterwards. But I love it. But yeah, if you have a crab pot and you have a boat or whatever, or what I see people doing is they'll catch some junk fish and cut them up and put them in there.
Right. Put the heads in there or the tails.
Yeah. Absolutely that. Or, you know, you could do chicken too, but that's if you're already fishing and you have the scraps and stuff, that does pretty well. But get some nice size ones here.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. We used to go down there, Maryland, Virginia, Delaware.
Now, the one thing I'm not sure about where I can do this here is when I was younger and I go camping with my parents down to Rehoboth Beach at Indian River Inlet, my dad used to go clamming. He had a clam rake in the Back Bay area over there. I don't know where you could do that here. Because most places it's restricted that there's no shellfish harvesting because a lot of that is already commercial harvested. So you have to have a special license for it. But that's pretty fun. Did you ever do that?
No.
It's just a big metal rake with a basket on the edge of it. And
I've seen it.
You muck through the – yeah. That's pretty fun.
Cool.
My youngest loves to go fishing. Actually, all my kids like to go fishing, but no, she really loves it. She, first time I took her out down the end of the bridge here, we were only down there for a little bit and she caught her first fish. She was all excited. It was just a croaker. And then as we were leaving, she's just pulling in the line and she just yanks out a trout.
Oh, nice.
Which is the first time I've ever caught a trout out of there. So that was pretty interesting. And she was pleased with herself. But anyway, guess we got to start wrapping this up, huh?
Yeah.
It was a good show.
Definitely.
I hope you enjoy the rest of your October and Halloween too. You going to be watching any horror movies?
Yes. We watched It and It Too.
Watch what? Oh, It Too.
It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2.
Okay.
I
saw the first one. I didn't see the second one yet.
The first one was better. Which was basically a prequel, you know, it's the kids.
Uh-huh.
The second one was decent. Not as good as the first one, though.
My one daughter went and saw the new Halloween.
Any good?
She said it was good. So she liked it. I don't know. I guess they're supposed to be making one more after this called Halloween Ends, which is the ending. Now, I didn't see – what was the one before this? Was it H2O?
Something like that.
Yeah, so I had seen – I watched the pitch meeting for it and for this Halloween Kills that's out there now. And what it looks like is – they kind of followed the same pattern as Halloween 1 and 2, where the main character, or who was Jamie Lee Curtis, who she played, gets then taken to the hospital after the events of the first Halloween. But it doesn't look like the whole thing takes place in the hospital, which is how Halloween 2 was played out. The original one. But anyway. I don't know. All right, man. I'm going to play us out. You have a good week.
All right. You too. I'm sure.
And enjoy everything and good luck.
Take it easy.
See you in a week.
Bye. I am short.
Oh, my God. It's
Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over. Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was at the dining room having sushi.
And there we go. That was it. A laid back, leisurely show. And I hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to stop these recordings and move on. Have a good week. Oh, this is a quarter. You're going to stop, too.
We had a couple days. It was like 44, 43. Overnight. It's almost November here.
Yeah. I was like, I was saying to my wife yesterday, I was like, man, it's a little chilly out. It's like, what was it? It was 51. And I'm like, you know, in about 4.5 months, we're going to be sitting out here saying, man, it's getting warmer now. It's 51.
Exactly. Walking around with a t-shirt in the 50s.
Yeah. It's interesting how the perspective changes the time of year.
Yeah, well, you know, it's too warm, it's too cold, blah, blah, blah. It's never perfect.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right.